The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH. I'm Andy, your host. And on today's instalment, I'm talking to you, originally recorded and broadcast on Monday, August the 25th, 2025, at achshow.com. I will be presenting a show entitled, "Was Stanley Kubrick's 1980 film The Shining, His Confession to Faking the 1969 Moon Landing? You Be the Judge." And the time is 10:01 a.m. here in London, making it 5:01 a.m. on the East Coast of America and 2:01 a.m. on the West Coast of America. Welcome to wherever you are around the world. Okay, so this bonus show was made possible via three donations, a £15, a £25 and a £10 I received since the last show, which went out on the last bonus show, which went out on July the 28th, and I thank these kind supporters of the show. For those of you who don't know, I do a bonus show for every £50 I receive in a single or combined donations. So if you want to be part of the next one, the donate button is at the top of my website, achshow.com, and the rest is up to you. And today's show title, "Was Stanley Kubrick's 1980 film, The Shining, His Confession to Faking the 1969 Moon Landing, You Be the Judge?" relates to what most people would consider a somewhat preposterous suggestion that a film based upon a Stephen King horror story about a deranged axe murderer could actually contain numerous references to the 1969 Apollo 11 moon landing. But a link to the YouTube video of the film The Shining Code 2.0, which you can find in the post for this show at achshow.com, not only promises to prove just that, but also offers a great deal of evidence during the film to back up their claims. So why not give it a watch? You don't need to have seen The Shining to understand it, as they play all the film footage they use to back up their claims during the film. And then you can be the judge. Okay, so let's go through some of the references to the 1969 Apollo moon landing that you can find in Stanley Kubrick's The Shining. Here we go. Why Kubrick bothered to change the colour of the Volkswagen Beetle from red in the Stephen King novel to yellow in the film, and how during Jack's drive to the Overlook Hotel in his yellow Volkswagen Beetle, we see a smashed up red Volkswagen Beetle indicating that Kubrick had destroyed King's book in order to tell his own story. Incidentally, yellow is also the colour of the sun, and in Greek mythology, Apollo is the god of the sun. How Kubrick changed the number of the room that was 217 in Stephen King's book The Shining to number 237 in the film. And the average distance Earth is from the moon is 237,000 miles. How Jack Nicholson starts off the film as a clean-cut character, but turns into a dishevelled character with unkempt hair and beard throughout the film. A transformation very much like Kubrick made himself during the 1960s. how the scene in the film during which Wendy discovers that whilst Jack claims he has been writing a new book, he has simply been typing the phrase, "All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy," over and over again on reams of paper. Incidentally, this scene is nowhere to be found in the Stephen King book, and thus was Stanley Kubrick's own work. And in the context of the film, it is better interpreted when the word "all" is written as A11 or A11, an abbreviation of Apollo 11, and then you get Apollo 11 work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. And as the ones on a typewriter look, sorry, the L's on a typewriter look very much like ones, I do not consider this to be any great stretch of the imagination. How when Jack is locked in the pantry, he is surrounded by boxes with the number 39,000 printed on them, and Apollo 11 took off from launch pad 39. There are also boxes of Golden Ray, which of course comes from the sun, and Tang, which was a drink we were told went to the moon with the astronauts. You will find many more Apollo 11 references in The Shining Code 2.0 or 2.0. And based upon the principle of Occam's razor for me, I can only conclude that Stanley Kubrick's 1980 film The Shining was his confession to faking the 1969 moon landing. But as I always say, you be the judge. The link to The Shining Code 2.0 is there in the post for this show at achshow.com. So have a look at it and you'll think one of two things. You'll think, well, yeah, there looks like there's something to this, or, well, this is just coincidental, they're reading too much into it. But at least it's something solid you can look at. This is what got me interested in conspiracy theories. It was this sort of fascinating information. You're like, as I said earlier, why on earth would references to the moon landing be appearing in a Stephen King film about an axe murder? It just doesn't make sense. But then you look at it, it's like, you know, why did Kubrick need to buy the Stephen King novel? Why didn't he just do something all himself? You know, the whole thing is very, very odd. But it's fascinating and it's fun to investigate. A lot more fun than looking through some of these websites on the internet that give you a new date every month that everything's going to go wrong and the world, you know, there's going to be all these catastrophes and all this sort of stuff. It just becomes a yawn-a-thon at the end of the day. Where are the Tex Marses today? The sort of interesting material he bring up each show, and it's just, we hear about the day the music died. I wonder when the day that decent conspiracy theory radio died. And presentation, it's just gone, and it's very sad, but these are the sort of things that I bring up because these are fascinating. There's something tangible and real there for you to look at and decide what you think, rather than somebody telling you dates that are never going to happen, but one day that will happen. You know, whether you are religious, not religious, whatever, the earth at some point is probably not going to exist. You know, nothing lasts forever. But there are people out there that make a living on giving you dates that people look at. Oh, is this it? Is this it? Is this it? And it's just boring and old hat. It just gets on my nerves so much that a medium of information that when I got into it was known as conspiracy theories, and then, you know, some people started talking about alt-right, which was just a scam and a branding. And I remember some people at the time who'd been around for a lot longer than I had, who started calling themselves alt-right. And I was like, this is beneath you. This is a fad. This is not going to last. And it didn't last. Who talks about alt-right these days? It was just a fad. And it was designed to, in my opinion, take the Christianity out of many of the conspiracy theories and what have you out there, and replace it with things like a love of National Socialism, which, you know, that's what I saw it as at the time. There you go. Okay, you may recall I mentioned the 1998 prison documentary The Farm, Angola, USA on Saturday's show, and I have found you a YouTube link to this, which I consider the best prison documentary ever made, that you can find in the post for this show, again, at achshow.com. The Farm, Angola, USA focuses on the story of several prisoners, including an inmate who has just arrived after being sentenced to life without the possibility of parole at the age of 22, a prisoner who has been fighting to prove his innocence during the many years he has been incarcerated at Angola, and a prisoner who is about to die of cancer in Angola, reflecting upon his life. And Angola, also known as Angola Farm, that is a prison in America. It's nothing to do with the country of Angola. The title, I remember seeing it and I was like, it is a prison called The Farm in Angola, but no, it is in America. And the thing about something like this is I don't like, if I see a description for a show, unless it's a show I'm used to having material on that I'm not particularly interested in, I don't like to read it because I like to be surprised what's going to be said. If I've got an idea, if it's someone who generally pipes up the same narrative every day and I'm a bit bored, I might have a look and see, are they saying anything different today? And if they're not, then I'll just listen to that bit or something like that. So I think they call it spoilers, don't they? So if I was in your position, I'd rather watch this documentary for myself. But I am going to tell you one part of it because, this is just a very little bit. I mentioned that there was a prisoner in there who'd been fighting to prove his innocence during the many years he'd been incarcerated at Angola. Well, he was accused of rape, or rather, he was found guilty of rape. And at first, he's interviewed by the documentary team who are in the prison. And he said that his accuser said all, and he used the N-word plural, look alike to me. And then you show him having a parole hearing. And he's talking to this parole board that seem to have already made up their mind before he even goes in. And he said, he used the word all black people look alike to me, is what the accuser said. And it was one of the people on the parole board was black. And I wondered if he changed that because there was a black person on the parole board, or if he changed it, you know, because it was a parole board or what have you. Because don't forget, this film was filmed in 1998. So they weren't so touchy about language back then. And again, I mean, obviously, if he should say what the person actually said. And in that case, it makes it more, you know, what would be the right word? It's more powerful in the sense of it indicates a racial bias in the statement rather than saying blacks. But anyway, he did it how he did it. But that's not the reason I'm bringing it up. The reason I'm bringing it up is that he shows them a picture that was shown to a picture of the lineup. So he was put in the police lineup, right? And he's got a copy of this picture of the police lineup that the identity parade, you know, where the victim has to pick out the offender. And he's the only one, I shouldn't laugh, but he's the only one in the lineup with handcuffs on. All right, and these parole people actually look at it, it's like, this can't really, like. And even then, afterwards, they're like, oh, well, you know, he did it, all this sort of stuff. If you look up the Wikipedia page, which I should have done before this show, so I'm going to type it now. I know how annoying it can be when people do this on the air while they're doing a show. The Farm Angola Documentary Wiki. Okay, so, yeah, it's got its own Wikipedia page. I believe that this guy has since been freed. So we'll just, yeah, I think this must be him. Vincent Simmons. 2 counts of attempted aggravated rape. He's the only one listed as rape here. Released in 2022 after his conviction was overturned. So you've got a lot of sort of updates here of people who, there's another guy in there I forgot to tell you about that's literally he's on death row and he's trying to get his execution delayed. So there's that story in there as well. There's a sort of troop of people who go out. They're allowed to go out into the public and basically, I think they teach them all sorts of different things as sort of representatives of the prison, people that have really reformed, and obviously they were pushing for early release, and I can see here on this Wikipedia page that many of them did indeed get it. But it was a very good, as I say, documentary, and one that I highly recommend. So there's a couple of things that you can be watching today if like me, it's a bank holiday in the UK. If you're in the UK and you're struggling for things to do and you don't like the sun because it's supposed to be a very hot day, then the links to both of these documentaries are in the post for this show. So let's go over now and have a look at what has been going on in the mainstream media since Saturday's show, which was just a couple of days ago. Fortunately, I've got a few things. Sometimes I only have this amount for a whole week, because if not a lot is happening. This is what... Today is the first day for quite a while I've downloaded so-called independent media shows. I say so-called, because I finished listening to the Big House and the Hard Time prison documentaries I was talking about on Saturday's show. I finished those yesterday. So I've finally got nothing to listen to on my phone. So I've downloaded two or three different shows. And we'll see how I get on. But I imagine that I won't enjoy them as much as what I have been listening to, because they relate to something tangible and not all this speculative nonsense that I keep hearing. Okay, so let's see. First up, we talked about the Ghislaine Maxwell situation. Now, let's get this right, okay? I mean, I'm actually really quite surprised. Now, if you or I were advising Trump, we could do a better job. Let me tell you why. Now, it was last month that the US Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche went to see Maxwell in her prison and recorded this long, some interview. And after that, she gets moved to a much more comfortable prison, okay? So why is that, you know? The Trump, someone, senior person from the Trump administration, and straight away, after he talks to her, she goes to a much more comfortable prison. Well, it doesn't stop there, does it? Because, as I mentioned on Saturday's show, somebody in that much more comfortable prison criticised that when to a newspaper, and they were moved to a much less comfortable prison by the governor so fast that they were unable to pick up their glasses or their medication. And then I hear this, that Ghislaine Maxwell's now saying that she never saw Trump with young girls or in any inappropriate setting. So it's starting to smell like, well, it sounds to me like some deal's been done here, that you're going to use her to say, well, Trump's not involved in this, you know, while you're not releasing the list. And to my mind, they would have been better off just keep saying, oh, you know, this Epstein thing, it's old news, or come up with something. But to actually move the person who was jailed for trafficking girls, so there must be some sort of people that the girls are being trafficked to. So there's going to be a list in some form, whether it's in their own head, of people these girls are being trafficked to. And they're actually using this convicted, this person who's been convicted in court and serving prison time as if they're some sort of reliable source. When all the time people are saying, well, Trump's not releasing it because his name's on the list. That's what the accusations are. And this is the way that they deal with those accusations. You know, a child would know that this is just, it's so transparent, it's laughable. Trump may not be on the list, but when something like this is done by his administration, it doesn't make him look less guilty, it makes him look more guilty. But get this, another story. Virginia, I can never pronounce her name, Virginia Guffrey or whatever, she was the one who was supposedly photographed with Prince Andrew, and we're now being told that, oh, it's a real photo, you know, it's amazing. But they've come out, the family, because she obviously, we're told she killed herself earlier in the year. I must admit, it was a pretty convenient timing, wasn't it, for her to die? But basically, the family have released a statement, her family said, about this interview with this Todd Blanche and Ghislaine Maxwell. They've said, "We are outraged. During Blanche's bizarre interview, she is never challenged about her court-proven lies, providing her a platform to rewrite history. This travesty of justice entirely invalidates the experiences of the many brave survivors who put their safety, security and lives on the line to ensure her conviction." Now, why anyone would give any credence to something Ghislaine Maxwell says is laughable on its face, okay? But again, what these people are saying is very interesting, what the family are saying about this. And I feel that we're in a world today where people who protest genocide can be jailed. You know, you've got a situation that we're in now that I think the people in control, like, we've got control. We do and say what we want, almost as if they're trolling us. So, you know, it's like if you put a First Lady in the White House that is actually a man, and a few people, you know, worked it out, know about it, but, you know, they never talk about it in the mainstream. Or you put a guy with obvious dementia in the White House, and while he's in the White House, the mainstream media don't talk about it, but as soon as he gets out, it's like, oh, yeah, I think that guy did have dementia after all, didn't he? Oh, you know. But now it's just getting more and more aggressive and more direct. Yeah, we can do this. Yeah, we know that some people are going to see it's going to look very suspicious to some people, but we don't care. That's the message that we're telling you. We don't care. If we don't like you, we're going to come and get you. That is our message. That's the way I see these people behaving now. It's astonishing. It's like they don't have a care at all. We've won. We can do what we want. That's their attitude. And the one positive in that attitude is, I'm not sure where it is in the Bible, but I believe it's written, their vanity will be their undoing. So their cockiness, their, oh, we run it all now, we can do what we like, that is going to be what's going to cause their downfall. And I hope that I'm still here to see it. Okay, so here's another one. The UK's busiest port, which I believe is in Suffolk, a place called Felixstowe, it has one police officer working at it in order to screen containers for stolen vehicles. So, surprise, surprise, lots of vehicles get stolen in this country and they get shipped off to places in countries in Africa and the Middle East. But of course you've only got one police officer. You see, this is what people don't understand. People are always trying to rationalise this. Well, why would they do this? Why, you know, because they're not your police. They're working for the people who really control things. And the most important thing to the people who really control things is people saying things about them that they don't like. So therefore, it's, well, that's what we want. They're our police. They're not your police. You might pay for them with your taxes, but they're not your police. Just like it's not your government. It's the government. Again, what do the government do? You see all these protests around the country about different issues, and the government just do nothing to address the concerns of the people about these issues because they're not there for the people. And then they'll ship other people in. Admittedly, some of these so-called counter-protesters, I think there was a protest this week where some of the actual protesters were literally accusing the counter-protesters of being paid and shipped in from another town. So this is getting out as well, something that many of us in the independent media have known for quite some time, that there are wealthy people that will literally pay you to counter-protest. And there's been a lot of examples of these counter-protesters being treated with kid gloves when compared to the actual protesters, almost as if it looks like the authorities are on their side, which could well be the case. But again, I sort of somewhat digress here, but am I? What I'm trying to get at is that you're not going to be short of police on something like this. You're not going to be short of police when it comes to someone holding up a sign saying, I oppose genocide. You'll get, you know, with something else on it that I can't say, because it's now prescribed and they'll probably try and edit it in some way to indicate that I did say something. It's worth the police's time to arrest each of those people holding up a banner like that than it is to have people, you know, protecting people's property, checking that stolen vehicles aren't being taken out of the country, all this sort of stuff. It's astonishing the level that we have sunk to. It really is. And I think, as I've said, part of it as well, what would God think of us and what we've allowed our countries to become? And I think that's part of the powers that should not be's plan as well. If we can make these people look so unworthy of any sort of God's grace because of the fact they've done little to nothing to prevent what's happened to them and their country, then maybe God won't intervene and we'll have what we want, and that's control of the people and the planet. So, anyway, what else have I got here? Oh, we've had all these things that have been being talked about, people going on holiday at this time of year. Now, of course, it's the summer here in the UK. A little drink of water there. And a lot of people head off on holiday. And a lot of talk has been about sun loungers, and this is something that went on for years. When I was younger in the 1980s, there was always a big thing about the Germans would get up early and they put their towels on the sun loungers to get the sun loungers at the hotel. It was probably just, whether it was true or not, I don't know, but it was sort of like something that was widely said in England. But then there's been this, disdain for German things in the mainstream in England, and of course people who watch and listen to mainstream stuff are likely to be influenced by it and thus behave in the way that they're influenced to behave. Obviously, the 80s was still, it was 40 years ago was Second World War, whereas now we're a lot further beyond that, and since then we had European membership and all this sort of stuff and supposed to be closer and what have you. But lots of stories about all this squabbling at hotels that people are going to in the UK over sun loungers, and, people getting up really early to get them, and is it fair and isn't it fair, and all this sort of stuff, which again makes the concept of going on holiday quite, not an attractive one, which makes me wonder, not saying that these aren't happening or these are sort of fake events or something like that, but I've read lots of other stories about all these different tourist destinations that are so crowded now that you wouldn't want to go there. I must admit, I did see one, Santorini, which is the Greek island I actually went to. You've got cable cars going up and down to get up there, or you can get up there on a bus or something like that. But I saw the crowds there, and it looked awful. And I don't remember it being that crowded when I visited a few years ago. But they don't want you travelling, and it could be, let's see what stories we can find out there that make going on holiday look like a, not really that attractive a proposition by the time you've paid your money and you've made the effort to fly and you might get your some sort of air traffic control problem, all these different things that make it less attractive for people to go. And that could be where they're going with it, or it could all be genuine and in good faith. You be the judge, as I say. Another thing that we've had in this country is they've been putting up all these St. George flags everywhere. And also Union Jack flags. I talked about this before because some councils have been taking them down, and the implication by the mainstream media is the sort of councils that are taken down have been taking the flags down, haven't been taking Palestine flags down, but they've been taking these flags down, and the implication being is that, they care more about people from another country than they do from their own indigenous people, and then, you know, it's up to you if you choose to, you know, delve into who the people are giving the instructions to take them down, etc., etc. But the St. George's Cross business, all these flags going up, let's just see what the people are saying. This is a Daily Mail article here. I'll give you the headline. St. George's Cross is intimidating and has been hijacked by people with unacceptable views, council leader claims. Well, this is a Liberal Democrat leader of Dorset Council called Nick Ireland. I've never had a lot of time for Liberal Democrats. I'll tell you one thing. When I was younger, in the 80s, it was when my grandmother lived in Sutton. Suddenly all these road humps were going up in the road to slow down traffic. I remember I said then that I would never vote Liberal Democrat for putting all these things in the road to sort of, you have to bump over and slow down to next to nothing. And of course, you're using more fuel and all this. And, you know, there's the speed limit is the speed limit. They don't need to do that. Then you're doing less than the speed limit. Do you know what I mean? And I saw Liberal Democrat doing that, and I thought, you know what? I'm never going to vote Liberal Democrat. When the Labour Party brought in the smoking ban, I'm never going to vote Labour, ever, ever, whatever they do. Right? Even if there were things that I suddenly liked about them, which I very much doubt would happen. But because of that, something that I just said to myself back then, I'm just not going to do. Because both of these are an infringement on personal liberties and personal freedoms. You know, I don't believe people should be speeding and driving like maniacs, but if you've got roads where that is happening, then there's another, you put a police presence there, and then people won't do it. They'll get used to not doing it. But anyway, I'm not going to go down that line. Let's have a look. So I've given you the headline. So let's have a look at what people are saying about this. We'll do best rated first of this headline. The top comment, if I can get my words right. Rumfellow, Stockport, UK, 2 days ago. Hijacked by the English, the very flag the people always belong to. Nearly 2,000 upvotes, 15 downvotes. Let's have a look at the worst rated. That doesn't make sense. It has been hijacked, sadly, he is right. 29 upvotes, 230 downvotes. Here we are. Let's go on this one. Oh, the irony. Sodsland, UK, 2 days ago. He is right. The far right have soiled the St. George and Union Jack. No anter towards those who have soiled them on this thread. I mean, if you are going to post a comment, it's like two lines. Have you not got the time to kind of check your grammar and your spelling? 18 upvotes, 187 downvotes. Sorry, that was a bit of a waste of time. Okay, so let's see what else I've got here. This is something I found this morning. Sting is apparently being sued by his former bandmates in the Police. Well, there were only two of them, weren't there? Andy Summers and Stuart Copeland, wasn't it? Apparently they've been fighting for years over royalties. And so it sounds like he's been getting the royalties, or certainly the majority, and the other two don't feel that they're getting enough. There's a quote here. Andy and Stuart decided there was no alternative than court, so press the button. They say they're owed millions in lost royalties. Well, I was never a big fan of the Police or Sting, but I do confess I had a look on my computer today, and I know I've got a Police Greatest Hits album and a Sting album, and I think I've got 13 tracks of theirs, but I don't remember when I last listened to them. One of them I've got, which I'm surprised I kept, was Every Breath You Take, which apparently he earns $550,000 a year in royalties on, which is quite extraordinary, really, when you think about a song that you wrote. What was that, 83, 84, that track? And you're still making that every year. It's amazing, isn't it? But if we look at some of the comments, there was... there's too many. There was... Let's see if we have... someone just said Sting was the police. Well, I mean, it's an interesting one. What came to my mind is Spandau Ballet did this some years ago. I think it goes back to the 90s even. I think it's certainly quite a while ago. Gary Kemp was their songwriter. And he was the guitarist. And other band members claimed that there was a sort of gentleman's agreement that they would all split the royalties, but he was like, well, no, it's my song in my name, so I'm not doing that. So I think they're a five-piece band. Now, three of them sued, but the fourth one didn't, because the fourth one was Martin Kemp, who's Gary Kemp's brother, so he wasn't going to sue his own brother. Arguably as well, I mean, he had something of an acting career for a while. He was in EastEnders, and I even saw him in a Tales from the Crypt episode, as I recall, which was rather novel and interesting, but not as interesting as one might think, because the last series of Tales of the Crypt was actually filmed in the UK and was probably the worst series. But anyway, in that case, the band lost, and the guy who had his name on the songs, Gary Kemp, won. So I fear that the same thing might happen here, but, you know, I'm getting older now, so these people probably well into their 60s, quite a bit older than me, so they might not think that they've got a great deal to lose, as it were. But that being said, that was a story from today, published at 02:23, so that's about 8 hours ago. Okay, there you go. So let's go and have a look at what is going on right now in the mainstream media. So we'll go over to Associated Press, apnews.com first. Let's see if they get their begging bowl out. They have a little pop-up because apparently they need your support. I understand both AP and Reuters are owned by one company that also owns some banking interests, shall we say. Obviously, they're very, very, very hard up. For the top story, multiple journalists killed by Israeli strikes on Gaza hospital. Okay, I heard somebody on some show claim that there's been more journalists killed in this conflict than there has in all these different wars put together. All right? Quite astonishing there, when you think about it. Let's have a look at Reuters, see what's going on there, Reuters.com. Again, four journalists among those killed in strikes on Gaza hospital. I mean, you know, I've got something in my book from the Red Cross that we're talking about attacks on them by Israeli soldiers going back decades, and it's something that's nothing new, okay? So I'm not surprised when I see that, but yeah, I just look and I just, it's like I said earlier, who's God actually going to come back and save? Who's worth saving? When this sort of stuff goes on and it seems everyone's in any position of authority, and even people, there'll be people, I guarantee it, who can look at stuff like that and think, oh, well, you know, let's migrants come into my country. That'll be the attitude a lot of these people will have. And they'll be cheering it on. Not understanding the history and what it's all really about. And then you could argue, well, that might be part of it. Why are you having all these migrants come to your country so that you support these sort of things going on? It's a horrible world out there, isn't it? Okay, let's go over to BBC News. Have a look at their top 10 stories. Excuse me. Okay, so number 10. Women aren't just cozy gamers. I play horror games and 600,000 watch. How delightful. Number 9. Four journalists among 15 dead in Israeli strike on hospital, Gaza officials say. That's also their top story, folks. And it's only number 9 in the most read. So Could that be that people aren't interested because of what I just suggested? Maybe, maybe not. Number 8, inside Donetsk, as residents flee attacks on the Ukrainian region, Putin wants to control. Number 7, Chinese property giant Evergrande delisted after spectacular fall. Number 6, get ready for fracking, Reform UK tells energy firms. Number 5, half alive, toxic mushroom lunch survivor tells court of murder's impact. This is something that's been, I think it happened over Christmas or something in Australia. It was something weird about someone cooking. Here it is. Triple murderer Erin Patterson. She was found guilty of killing 3 relatives and attempting to kill another with a death cap mushroom laced meal. Oh, in July of 2023. I think I only heard about it first late last year. But I believe it's over in Australia. Is it Australia? Well, this is a great article, this, because I can't even see where it's located. So apparently we're supposed to all remember, but I think it's over there. Yeah, I see at the top, Simon Atkinson, BBC News Melbourne. So, oh, and also Tiffany Turnbull, BBC News Sydney. So it probably happened in Melbourne or Sydney, but the article doesn't exactly tell you. Okay, how helpful. Okay, let's move on to number 4. Trump cuts off Kiev's missiles, or rather KYIV. I'm not sure how you pronounce that. I say Kiev. I'm always going to say Kiev, as I'm always going to call it Chicken Kiev, because that's what I grew up with, and that's how it's going to stay. Trump cuts off Kiev's missiles and new blonde look. Number 3, Virginia Gufra, whatever her name is that I mentioned earlier, memoir to be published months after death. Number 2, lives torn apart by fatal crashes on Scotland's longest road. And number 1, a cut off finger ended her comfortable family life. Now she's hiding from US officials. Okay, so that's the... and I see up here, I noticed this the other day, Jerry Adler, who starred in The Sopranos, died at the age of 96. Now, funny enough, the other day, I was looking up Dominic Chianese, who played Uncle Junior, just for some, because last I'd heard, he was on the Talking Sopranos podcast with Steve Sciarrippa and Michael Imperioli. And he was talking about his lovely English bride who he'd married and he was living in England. And I, firstly, be quite honest, I wanted to check if he was still around, because he was in his 90s then. He is. He's 94, Dominic Chianese. And I just wondered if he was still, if it said that he's living in England and stuff like that. But his Wikipedia page was very, very limited information, didn't give any information like that. So he might be in the UK, he might not. But Jerry Adler, he played Hesh, who was an advisor to Tony Soprano's father, and subsequently an advisor to Tony Soprano. He was actually in the very first episode and made regular appearances throughout the series. He also, I was watching an episode of CSI Miami, and he was cast as a Catholic priest that David Caruso sits in a confessional with. And I just thought, and it was like, I think it was just in the opening scene, and I was like, why would you bring this guy in? He looked like a Catholic priest. But anyway, it did make me laugh at the time when I was going through my CSI Miami box set, but I won't get into that right now. Okay, so we'll go over and have a look at the Daily Mail, see what's going on over there. And just waiting for that to load up. Okay, so let's see what we've got. If I get the right page. Oh, it's finally loaded up. There we go. So the top story, girl 17 is stabbed to death by asylum seeker who chased her down a cycle path after raping woman days earlier in Holland, sparking a wave of fury. So again, how far do you want to go? Conspiracy wise, things like that. I can give you a phrase that you're all going to know. Order out of chaos. Is this what's happening now? Are all these protests and counter-protests all being orchestrated because they're going to use them to create a situation in which they're going to get their order out of chaos? The Labour Party in charge have been going after people with second homes, and their deputy leader, Angela Three Pads Rayner, they call her here, in this headline in the Daily Mail, because a pad in the UK is known as your home. So apparently she's got three homes, and they're going after people in this country who've got a second home with, you know, you get hit a lot more by taxes and stuff like that, which I understand, because people like Malefica Scott have been impacted by this, because he lives in a holiday resort area, and all these wealthy people are buying up the homes there so they can nip down for a few weeks in the year, which has forced the property prices up, meaning people in the area can no longer afford them. The very locals that should be able to get the property. But the headline here is Angela Three Pads Rayner is dubbed a hypocrite after splashing out on an £800,000 seaside bolt hole to go with her family house and grace and favour flat, while her department warns the rest of us of the ills of second homes. Again, it's like we're all told about your carbon footprint, or are you being responsible with your energy by people that fly around the world in private jets? This is the world. It's a very sad, horrible world. Because there's no media. The mainstream media, they'll point out stuff like that to try and, you know, show that they're being critical of somebody. But the real big issues, they're always going to fall in lockstep on. Okay? So, it's just, this is why we have this, what appears to be, no, there's nothing in the mainstream media that jumps out as completely different to each other. They're all really singing off the same hymn sheet. And that's because they're controlled by the same people. Okay, let's move on to the Independent News. And we'll have a look at RT.com today. May as well. Not my favourite. But their top story is Ukrainian field camp wiped out. Apparently Kiev's troops have suffered an estimated 600 casualties in the attack near the key Donbass city of Kramatorsk. I might have actually pronounced that correctly. I've never heard of it, though. Don't threaten us, EU state, to Zelensky. Do you really believe a Ukrainian on a yacht took out Nord Stream? That is some sort of opinion piece article. But, you see, this is what people in the UK should be worried about. The electricity prices in this country rocketed when this Ukraine war kicked off, as has everything else. I mean, things have gone up in the last few years by as much as half. There's a shop called the Poundland, right? And they've been closing loads of their stores because they've been losing loads of business, because the whole purpose of that shop was that everything in it was a pound. But I had to start saying, well, we're still called Poundland, but everything in it can't be a pound anymore because everything's gone up so much we can't afford to charge just a pound for it. And now loads of shops of Poundland are closing down. So, yeah, it's been a real nightmare. And this is what people should be worried about in the very countries that they live. How is my life being affected? Not all these politicians, this is important, we need to do this, we need this to happen, we can't have this going on in the world and all this sort of stuff, and then spending all your money, putting up your taxes because they're giving loads of money to another country without your approval. It really, the world has gone, it really has. So let's move on to rents.com, see what's going on over there. That will be back later. It's only a bank holiday in the UK, I believe. There might be other countries having a bank holiday today. I will tell you, it doesn't affect me because I work for myself. But bank holiday, it's our last public holiday of the year. It's the August bank holiday, which is always the last Monday in August. The next public holiday is Christmas Day on December the 25th. Okay. Right, so the top story on Rents, peacenik Trump okays sending 3,350 US cruise missiles to Ukraine. Their range is 280 miles, yet he's Nobel Peace Prize material all right. The next one down, Putin. Well, let's stop there for a moment. It was only like a week ago or so, wasn't it? Or no, it wasn't. It, just over a week, because it was, wasn't Friday just gone. It was the Friday before they had that summit in Alaska. They're shaking hands. And then, I mean, what a weird world. You've just sat down, had a chat with this guy, saying, oh, you know, I like this Putin and all that. And then just over a week later, you're supplying his enemy with missiles. Wars and rumours of wars, anybody, that it says in the Book of Revelation? Mad, mad times. Putin to spend 4 days in China next week is the next one down. That links to an RT.com article. The first one as well links to RT.com article. These two are quite interesting. If I'd still seen them up there on RT, I'd have read them out. But they've obviously since taken them down for some other stuff. Okay, let's go over to HalTurnerRadioShow.com. Heavy US naval deployments heading toward Venezuela. Cracker Barrel rebranding fired. So I've been hearing about this Cracker Barrel. I actually ate at a Cracker Barrel. Pastor Eli James, that many of you may have heard of, I attended an event in Atlanta, Georgia, that he came to as well. And I was only there for a weekend. I mean, I arrived on a Friday, I left on a Sunday. Long way to fly, about 10-hour flight or something, just for 2 days. But he drove me back to the airport on the Sunday. So dropped me off. The trouble was, he had to get somewhere, so I got there 12 hours early. But I was just pleased to get there. It turned out that there was a metro that you could get, and like a sort of, well, some sort of train type thing. And I spoke to someone at the airport about it, and they said about, you know, you've got the Olympic Park, and then there was an aquarium and the World of Coke Museum, and I went to the World of Coke Museum. That was quite interesting. And then I got the, I got it back afterwards, and got my flight home. But Cracker Barrel rebranding fire. The reason I mention it is I treated Pastor Eli to breakfast in a Cracker Barrel. So I've actually eaten in there. Let's see. Cracker Barrel is rapidly heading into the same financial abyss as Bud Light after its rebranding caused stock value to plummet. And this is, there's a screenshot of what looks like a post on X by Arthur McWaters, who has a blue tick next to his name, whatever that means. I was fired from Cracker Barrel today. I ran our company's rebranding team. Turns out a small group of angry activists didn't like that we took the old guy off the logo and threw a fit. They blamed me for tanking the stock price 19% and fired me on the spot. Taking some time to reflect, and we'll start looking for jobs soon. Get woke, go broke is the Hal Turner comment beneath that post. Okay, so now let's have a look. The top story, heavy US naval deployments heading toward Venezuela. And I can see that there's all sorts of boats on their way. The USS San Antonio, USS Fort Lauderdale. How about the USS Arthur Harvey Milk? Is that still an operation, or are they were supposed to be rebranding that one, I believe. But let's see if I can sum this up for you, just trying to read it quickly. The US is saying that fentanyl ships from Venezuela into the US. The US also says that Venezuela has close relations with both Russia and Iran and is constructing Iranian drone factories inside Venezuela. Finally, the US says that Venezuela issues legitimate but bogus passports to members of Hezbollah. Several months ago, Intel circuits claimed the Russians were setting up factories for long-range missiles to be in Venezuela, but under Russian control. I did not see any corroborating proof of these claims. If these claims were correct, the US could be struck by Russian missiles fired from Venezuela a lot faster than those fired from Russia. These are the kind of claims that tell the average American military action is coming fast. So it looks like the Trump administration are moving towards Venezuela with some military war boats, naval warships, if I get the terminology right, which the article does, which doesn't bode well, does it, for peace-loving people out there. Okay, let's go over to earthnewspaper.com, Mark R. Elsis website, and see what's going on there. I was hoping I'd be broadcasting on this day, because he's had this up for a while, and of course this is a bonus show, so I didn't think I would be. But I like anniversaries, folks, and I could have even had the show title had I not done all the research into the Stephen King's The Shining, or rather Stanley Kubrick's, let's get it right, because the Shining we're talking about, Stephen King had very little to deal with. But it is the 50th anniversary of a record today, and the record is Born to Run by Bruce Springsteen, which is regarded as one of his classic albums. I have to say, I listened to some of his 70s stuff and stuff like that. I didn't like it as much. I mean, for me, the first album of his that I've got and kept is Born in the USA. And then Tunnel of Love was better than that. And then he released Human Touch and Lucky Town on the same day. I think I liked the song Human Touch, but I didn't really progress far beyond that. So I think I've just really got Born in the USA and Tunnel of Love, which are two great albums. But Born to Run, everyone's heard of it. Everyone's heard of the song, at least. But the album came out on August the 25th, 1975, which is 50 years ago today. A masterpiece for the ages is Mark R. Elsis' comment, and you can read about that on earthnewspaper.com. It is the very top of the right-hand column, featured music. So I'm pleased I was able... Oh, and he's also got a video next to it. Get this, the Cracker Barrel rebrand. So it's only 3 minutes 44. So if you want to hear people talking about it in more detail than I just read off Hal Turner's website, then there's a video that will tell you about it in under 4 minutes, alongside much more interesting things that you will find on earthnewspaper.com. That is one of the websites I visit at least twice a day. Okay, so let's finish off with the Before It's News Top 10. And I want you to bear in mind what the show was about today, about real conspiracies, about something that you can look at and you can say, well, I think it's a coincidence, or, well, actually, I think that there is something there, to the sort of stuff you're going to hear here off this website, which I do, I admit, I visit probably twice a day as well, at least, because sometimes some interesting shows go up there. So it's just the things that get high up the website don't tend to be the most interesting, but we'll run through it now. At number 10, went up 14 hours ago, 70 people viewing. Benjamin Fulford, hang on, it's a trap, this is terrifying. Number 9, went up 23 hours ago, 70 people viewing. Ismael Perez, shocking truth about RH negative blood, galactic royalty and the Lyrian Grail lineage. There was something I saw here the other day. Might have even been today, about, oh, we found some rare 2,000-year-old Bible that's got things in we've not been told before. Jesus Christ has told me what I need to know in the Bible, okay? And there are some editions that they've tried to disguise certain things, but I know what his message was, and you can too. Get yourself a King James Bible and just read, get one with words of Christ in red and just read his words. And I'm not interested in someone who claims to have found some 2,000-year-old Bible, that, because it's probably all nonsense. And it's most likely designed to negate what Jesus Christ told us. Which, for me, the majority of Christians, certainly the ones that I hear in the independent media, are either willfully unaware of, they've never read his words, because otherwise they wouldn't express support for certain things that he far from supported, or they're just having you on all the time. Okay, so we just did number 9. Let's do number 8. Well, up 14 hours ago, 77 people viewing. Michael Jayco, war in America is imminent. An open war on drug cartels has begun. Number 7 went up 7 hours ago, 112 people viewing. David Nino Rodriguez, the coming Black Swan event will trigger ascension for humanity. Is this an old article? Because this is just what I'm talking, oh, coming event, oh, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, oh, it's going to be this date, it's going to be that date, and we all fall for it time and time again, because it's exciting, it's fear porn, it's, oh, is something going to happen tomorrow? It happens to me, folks. If I see a date keep being pushed, and I've got half a tank of gas, or petrol, as we call it over here, I'll fill it up, and then, just, would you believe it, nothing ever happens. Number 6, went up 11 hours ago, 112 people viewing. New David Wilcock, we just crossed the line. Number 5, went up 5 hours ago, 116 people viewing. Byington bombshell report. US bioweapon labs in Ukraine develop COVID shot that killed, and then the headline runs out. Number 4, went up 7 hours ago, 137 people viewing. News treason and Mike King. It's time, 8:25:25, Trump launches GCR, ends deep state, Fed and IRS. Again, isn't it sad that thinking back to conspiracy theories, you've got so-called conspiracy theorists, independent media, alternative media, whatever you want to call them, whatever they want to be called, that are actually saying that it's the United States president who's our saviour. Can you imagine what someone like Tex Mars would be saying to that? But that, I'm on a downer today, aren't I? But I'm on a downer, because everything has just gone to hell. Number 3 went up a day ago. 138 people viewing. Mel Kay and David Nino Rodriguez, full disclosure, 900 bankers dragged from secret meeting to Gitmo. Number 2 went up 7 hours ago, 171 people viewing. Judy Byington, unredacted, Trump military alliance arresting cartels worldwide. And number 1, new X-22 report, Bolton is just the beginning. Devin Nunes explains they are working around deep state operators. That's went up 9 hours ago, had 247 people viewing it. And if that is the most popular story on Before It's News, God help us all. That being said, I want to thank all of you for joining me today for a bonus show entitled for Stanley Kubrick's 1980 film The Shining, his confession to faking the 1969 moon landing, You Be the Judge. I'll be back with you all with Peter tomorrow, and until then, folks, thank you for listening, have a wonderful day, and bye for now.